I'm just a fill-in here. I'm not. This is not Pete Najarian or Dave Schwartz. So Dave Lee here. But Pete, really great to be here today. I know you guys were short-staffed, and so they called me in retirement. I have nothing to do. So it's just nice to be relevant for a few minutes.
Oh, it's great to be with you, man. I mean, honestly, you and I have, we've been together for a really, really long time in one way or another.
Yep.
So this is just extending it out a little bit. It's great.
Well, it's really fun. And this, you know, it's kind of weird this year. And I was just, I see my friends Mike and Lori out here, and I just ran into them coming in by the bus depot. And I've never, all these years, of course, I was here at the fair about 4:30, 5 in the morning, somewhere in there. And I always parked right here on the grounds and, you want to, you know, right back here. So I've never come out here and taken the bus. So today was my first time of taking the bus, and I'm trying to figure out, see Susie. And then so I get to the bus terminal this morning, and I'm asking everybody these questions about what to do. And what, you know, it's like everybody's little kid. But anyway, the bus was awesome. Really nice. So I did that.
I gotta show you the ropes, man. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of parking spots out here.
I'd only been coming out here about 40 plus years, and this first time I've ever taken the bus, but that was slick.
It wasn't a bad experience.
That was a great experience. Not for the people next to me, but for me it was fun. So.
Well, you know what I'm amazed at is every time I come to the fair, and I'm a guy who comes of the probably 8 days of every
you
fair.
You go to quite a few concerts out here.
Go to the concerts to add to my concerts, not first concerts, but a lot of return concerts.
Yep.
It's been great. You and I will definitely have to talk about that.
I mean,
I know it's not necessarily sports, but we got to talk about that. We're at the State Fair, for crying out
loud.
What
do I care? Are they going to fire me? Probably
not. Well, they can fire me. But you know what's exciting from a sports perspective is we are, right now, we're sitting here pushing up against Gopher football. We're pushing up against Viking football. I mean, this is my sweet spot, man. This is, and you got baseball starting to get a lot closer to the playoffs and all the rest of it. I mean, this is sports time.
I would ask you, speaking of that, just to kick off here, the Vikings played last night, and you played the preseason NFL football.
Yeah.
And you played those early games for the Gophers through the year. So you've actually been down in this stuff.
Yeah.
How wrapped up should we as sports fans get about preseason football?
Zero.
Okay, all right.
I think that the reality is it's just not the real picture of the game. I mean, it's a good opportunity for them to analyze just a little bit more. Game time, how did they react, all that. That's what the coaches are doing. But I think from a player's perspective, you win your spot, you win your opportunity in practice. And especially when you've got practice against other teams, which that's become the much more popular thing. That's way more important than it is on the preseason side. But as you've seen, we've cut back a little on preseason.
Yes.
And I think at some point they probably will cut back again. Maybe it'll just be two games.
Yeah, I would think. Hope so.
Yeah. But that also means they're going to probably extend out the regular season games too, because that's the talk as well. So it's all about the money, man.
Yeah, I mean, even as a fan, paying a full boat for preseason, that's like, yeah, okay, no thanks. But and for the players, you know, like McCarthy now, unfortunately, yeah. But it's just too many games in the preseason, I would think.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think the reality of the preseason used to be it was a great opportunity for a guy like me who goes to the Minnesota Vikings. I got released from Seattle. I go there, and now I got to shine. I got to show them what I've got. But that's changed. The way practices are done now, and Dave, I got to tell you something. You probably know this, but for a lot of people who maybe don't know this about professional football, there's a really limited number of days to show off who you are, because you're only in full gear, I think it's 12 times a year. They can only have full gear practices, pants, you know, their shoulder pads, their helmets, and all of that. I think it's 12. I'm pretty sure on that number. So you've got to be able to shine there. And it's much different than, I think, the games themselves, because there's just too much going on. You're going up against a third-string guy against a fourth-string guy, and I don't know that you can really access a lot of intelligence off of that.
You know, there's a lot of people listening that played football up for gags or played in the MIAC, and you made me think of this when you said the equipment part of it, because the word was, and I went to a few practices to watch the Johnnies practice a few times, and Gags didn't like to use pads, as they say, which is interesting. And you had a son that went to St. John's, but I don't know if that's completely true or not. I guess I'd have to ask one of the guys that played there, and I got a lot of friends that played there. Dino's probably listening right now. But the thing is, I thought, well, that's a unique approach, and
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
You know, I think it worked at that level for sure.
Yes.
You know, and the Ivy League took that over a few years ago, taking a page from Gags.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, and so it's
and
interesting.
And now St. Thomas plays Ivy League teams. Yeah.
St. Thomas plays a lot of different teams.
Yeah.
Out there. But it is interesting. You know, it's one of those things I think it's very difficult to be able to do the evaluation side of it. But Gags, obviously, you can't argue the success, what he was able to do up at St. John's, and you can't argue the success of what Caruso is doing over at St. Thomas. Just while he was in the MIAC and now he's in Division One, I am blown away with how well those guys have adjusted. Now, it's different Division One than Gopher football. You know, it's not Florida State, but it's still D1, and these guys are at a different level than D3, and it's amazing how fast they have just become a powerhouse, even at that level.
Now, you tell me when you want to take a break, because when I was doing this, I had 4.5 minutes as the longest segment I ever had. So I'm always turning my head, going, "Nobody."
We got to look at Charlie.
Me.
Is Charlie around?
Can Charlie get another minute?
Keep going, Dave.
Okay, keep rambling. I can do that pretty well. So anyway, back to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So, I mean, preseason. You're just saying, don't get too carried away as a fan,
right?
You know, because now a lot of us are doing our fantasy drafts,
right?
Which I've just completed, and you're thinking, oh, there's got to be a preseason sleeper. I got to pick somebody. But
I think there are some sleepers out there, by the way.
Do you?
We were just having this conversation. My brother and I do a show called The Rebel's Edge.
Yes.
And it's a fun show, and we do sports at the very end. It's all financial stuff, and then it's sports. But a show called The Rebel's Edge.
Yes.
And it's a fun show, and we do sports at the very end. It's all financial stuff, and then it's sports. But that was one of the items that I picked out this past week is, who's the team that has done so much in the offseason to make you think that they are really ready to maybe make it a lot further than that? And I think there's a lot of different examples you could come up with right now. I love what Jim Harbaugh is doing in San Diego, by the way. It's not San Diego anymore. It's L.A. But
yeah.
I love what he's doing there. And he got Joe Alt, who he tried to recruit to Michigan, never made it. He went to Notre Dame, and now he's there with him. But I think that there are so many different parts of the NFL where there were teams that were just missing one thing. I'll give you a great example. I think that one of the biggest sleepers out there is Atlanta. And I say that because they were a 7-9 team last year, kind of irrelevant. They're in one of the weaker divisions down there, but it's gotten better. But when you look at them, what was their biggest problem? Quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, did they address it? Well, they got Kirk Cousins, and they also went out and got Michael Penix. So I'd say they addressed it. They addressed it the right way. They've got a great running back, great receivers, a really good tight end. They've got a big offensive line, a very aggressive, big defense that played well last year. They just couldn't score points. So I think that's one of those teams that could be a sleeper I don't know that they go to the Super Bowl, because I don't think they can get past San Francisco and maybe Dallas or whoever, but they could get to the playoffs and make a little bit of a run.
Well, that's good, because McCaffrey was my first pick in fantasy draft. So
That's a great pick, man. That's unbelievable.
But the whole thing is kind of interesting to me to watch all of that transpire, and then we start for real here. But the Gophers start for real on Thursday, and maybe we take a break, Charlie, and then come back and talk about Gopher football next Thursday night already.
I'm really excited about it. It's going
to
be great.
Okay. Do we have to do any official format break, or how does that work?
I don't think so. I don't know. I leave that stuff up to Charlie and Dave. You're Dave. So
you've
done this before.
Yeah,
you know.
I'm rusty. Okay. Well, let's take a break. Yeah. We'll be back with more in the sports huddle here in just a minute. All right. Pete and Jerry, Dave Lee back here. We're going to talk Gophers and some other things, Pete, on the sports huddle. But before we get there,
man,
you are mentioned
uh-oh.
In Bo Jackson's book.
I am.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was a great opportunity for me. I'm going way back in time right now.
Well, you didn't think I was going to ask this either.
But after I graduated from Minnesota, and it was before the draft, we have all those bowl games that people go to, and individual bowl games like the Senior Bowl and all that. And I was invited to the Hula Bowl and the Senior Bowl, but I accepted to go to the Japan Bowl. And was fortunate enough to go over there with, I'm telling you, these were the stars of the stars. And so we had Bo Jackson, Heisman Trophy winner. And anybody who doesn't know Bo, you don't know football, because he was the best player I've ever seen at any sport he ever took up.
That was a slogan at one time, wasn't it?
Bo knows. But he was nice enough to see that I was uncomfortable. He came over and became my friend for the next 10 days over in Japan.
Wow.
And then he and I ended up getting invited by I don't know if it was the governor or if it's the mayor or whatever, but in Tokyo, I got invited, and it was me and Bo Jackson were invited to go over there and have dinner. and it was great. It was a great experience, just the two of us. And the reason I was probably selected was I had an uncle who introduced American football to the Japanese after he got out of Cal in 1952.
No kidding.
Wow. So that was the extension, and I think he was pretty sure that I was related to him, which I was. He probably thought it was my father, but my father's this guy over in Minnesota.
Yeah,
But it was a great time, and Bo is still a friend to this day. We don't talk regularly or anything like that, but just a wonderful person. He really is a wonderful person, and his book is pretty interesting because he did not start off as a wonderful person. I can tell you that much right
now. Yeah, he's the one that tells you that, right?
Yeah. In his first two chapters, it makes you very much dislike Bo. But after he got into high school and then into college at Auburn, suddenly he turned the switch. The switch turned and he became a great person as well as an unbelievable athlete. I still stand by. I think Bo Jackson's the greatest athlete ever.
Boy, you've seen a lot of them. Yeah. Played with some of them and against some of them.
Well, you got Jesse Owens. You've got all these great players. But Bo Jackson, what he could accomplish. He was the best basketball player. He could jump out of the room. He was the best football player. He ran track. And he could have been in the Olympics. There was nothing the guy couldn't do. It was unbelievable.
I remember when Kansas City would come to the Metrodome, and I'd go over after work and for batting practice, or I'd come back in the afternoon because I just wanted to see batting practice to see Bo Jackson hit. It was like when McGuire and Kensenko and our good buddy Terry Steinbach were the Bash brothers, and I'd go over and just watch batting practice with those guys.
It's like Shohei Ohtani now. I mean, the way that guy hits the ball.
Yeah.
Now he's got what? He's got 40 home runs.
40.
Yeah, the 40-40 club. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, my Bo Jackson signed a football for my son. And Spence, you met my son earlier this year. We had a chance to golf with Dr. Mike's out here. And he took care of Sid Hartman for a number of years, too, by the way. So we shared a lot of therapeutical stories between the two of us. But anyway, Bo couldn't have been nicer to when my son approached him with a football, and he just took his time. It was very gracious. But watching him in batting practice,
unreal.
You're just shaking your head going, I mean, he's just launching him out of there,
He's putting him 500 feet at a clip. I mean, it's just unbelievable what he would do. And you and I were talking about this, but when he was with the White Sox, they would show up because they actually could. They allowed him to show up for batting practice, everybody. They put 50,000 people in before the game ever started just to watch Bo hit the ball. That's amazing.
Makes me think of Bill Musselman and his warm-ups with the Gopher basketball team years ago.
All-time favorite, man.
I mean, people would pack the place to see warm-ups.
Yes,
remember that?
Yes.
He was a great showman.
He was unbelievable. He's missed because that was a great era of Gopher basketball. That was incredible. The way they'd come out of the locker room and come running through the big Gopher, through the tunnel and everything. That was phenomenal.
And as a fan, I mean, you knew you were drained by the time the game started.
Yeah.
But they were so good back then as well. I was just thinking, you're talking about being in Japan at Japan Bowl. So I was in Japan and I met through Walter Mondale. Went out to see Fritz Mondale when he was an ambassador out there. So we spent about a week with him. And we got a chance to meet a guy named Aki Bono. And Aki Bono, I don't know how many people follow sumo wrestling here. I'm guessing not a lot. I didn't either, but Aki was a grandmaster. And in Japan, I didn't recognize how fortunate we were that we got to go over to his stable where his, his house, and sit down and have lunch with him and just spend time with him. And then when people found out in Japan that you were with Aki Bono, it was like, are you kidding me? And I would say magnify Michael Jordan at his height by 100 times, and that's what he was over there back then.
Special.
But that was pretty cool. I mean, the sumo wrestling is just enormous.
It is so big, and people have no idea here what it really means. You're right. These guys are glorified probably for the right reasons. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen to watch, but it's amazing, and I'm jealous. I would love to have had that experience. That's great.
Because he was Hawaiian. Chad Rowan, I think. I'm not sure if I remember the name correctly. I think I am, but he was a guy from Hawaii originally. But I remember talking about his diet because those guys are, and he looked at
they're
me.
They're not
and
tiny.
He said, it's the seafood diet. I see food, I eat it.
Yeah. So, it works.
It worked well for him. So, anyway, Aki Bono, a long time ago.
Yeah.
We started off talking about the Gophers.
I've digressed. I keep leading you down this pathway outside of the Gophers.
I love it. So I apologize to the listeners. They're expecting a lot of – we'll talk sports. I just keep going in other directions on this deal.
That's great.
But, of course, you were a Golden Gopher. Mm-hmm. And are we supposed to break yet, Charlie? No, okay. So
you did games. You did a lot. You were
I did a lot of Gopher stuff. Yeah,
and that was great.
But the first game is always interesting to me because you don't get exhibition in college football. So what was it like when you were going through this process? You decided to go to Minnesota. You could have gone to Nebraska. You could have gone to Cal. You had a lot of schools after you. You chose to stay home in Minnesota. You end up being, again, Pete, I'm just going, I don't have this in front of me, but I think Billy Light holds the record for most tackles in a game. And then Pete Najarian, if I remember right, is second and third still on that list. And it's in the 30s. 30 tackles in a game, my gracious sake. So, but let's talk about that first game. Yeah. For the Gophers now on next Thursday night, what are you thinking?
That's exciting. Well, you know, and we get to – it's a great opportunity because –
and it's a good team.
It's a good team. That's what makes it so great to me is I think you need to do that. I think you need to play up against true competition to find out where you are, and especially early in the season, because that's going to affect what happens the rest of the year. But North Carolina, really good football team. Mack Brown, great coach. He was at Texas forever. Then he went, and I actually got to know him a little bit when I was working at ESPN back in the day. But he decided to get back into the coaching world. He's at North Carolina. He's doing a great job. He's got to replace a quarterback that was, I think he was, what, the third pick in the entire draft,
Drake May. Well, New England moved up to get him, right?
Yep. So he had the quarterback. Now he's got to figure out if he's got the quarterback this year. I'll tell you what, I love what I've seen from the Gophers already this year. I've been at practice. I had the opportunity to see the players up close, see how they're doing. We've got a new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator, and I'm actually extremely excited about the defensive side of the football, more so even than the offensive side, not because I was a defensive guy, but there was a lot of times last year where our defense just didn't do the right things. They seemed out of place, and I think that the way this guy coaches and the aggressiveness of what he'd like to have them do is going to be something different for Gopher football that we haven't seen probably in the last 10 years maybe.
Let me waver off course again. But loyalty is interesting to me, and as I watch this portal, sometimes I wonder, the NIL money is obviously taking over the sport, as we all know. But my question would be, so I'm going to be a Gopher as a freshman. Well, now Michigan comes and says, hey, we'll give you $250,000 to come over here and play a linebacker. Yeah. And I'm going to go, and I'm a young kid. I'm broke. I mean, you know, we had not much when I was growing up. I'm going, are you kidding me? Now, me at 19 with $250,000, I don't know what would have happened. It would have been scary. But then my junior year, Alabama says, we can win the national championship. Come here. I'm going there. My senior year, I said, well, I'm going to go play at Clemson. Now, when I graduate – and they want money from me at the university I played at.
Yep.
And you're from that era that where you stayed at the university for the most part. Otherwise, you probably couldn't play a lot because of the transfer rules. Who am I going to donate money to? Am I going to give money to Alabama, Clemson, Michigan? Or am I, you know, who am I going to give it to? I fear that if that controls the sport, why would I give to Clemson over Michigan if I played in both places? What would I care? I had no loyalty. I don't even know if these guys are doing much in the classroom. I'm sure there's still an academic standard they have to hit. I don't know.
There hopefully is. let's hope.
But I'm just saying, why Michigan, you want my money? Why do I care? I played at three other schools. Yeah. And my point is, long-term, like here at the University of Minnesota, if you don't have loyal Gopher people, why are they going to give to the NIL? And now suddenly when this group gets up there, no fault of their own. It's nobody's fault. It's just the dynamics of it make me wonder, are you going to give money to any of the schools because you don't have that loyalty factor?
Well, and you bring up two really important questions of what's going on in collegiate sports, right? I think
and you're a financial expert, so you can figure this out.
But you've got NIL where they're trying to get guys to get other places.
Yeah.
And then you've got the portal, which opens that up. So to your point, the loyalty factor is I would be concerned, I would think. I think it's something that they never wrap their arms around it right, Dave. I think the reality is they launch this NIL with absolutely no caps. And then suddenly we get in the portal and you can do it limitlessly. There are guys who are going in the portal, going somewhere, and before they're there a full week, they get back in the portal and go somewhere else. That to me just isn't the way it should be. There's got to be some sort of regulations on movement and how much money you could be paid and all of the rest of that based upon all the different factors. I think from the financial piece of it, it's just amazing to me because why is it not going to be, well, you've got a lot of money at Alabama and Ohio State and Michigan. Minnesota, not so much or whatever. So, well, what opportunities does that either open or close for us? And that's the frustrating part for me is they just didn't think it through before. Oh, my goodness.
Loopy, what'd you bring
Dave,
here now?
Now I'm fully distracted.
Their food just arrived. Pete lost his total train of thought,
Australian
Aaron. It's been derailed.
Potatoes.
And then this is pickle barrel. They gave us to us for free, which was very nice. Pickle barrel. These are sirloin tips with onions. Look at how great that looks. And mushrooms. They were the greatest. And then Australian potatoes, and then those and Nordic waffles. Did you guys already talk about
the Nordic waffles?
Kind of an international we feast potato. We got
yeah,
going
this
up
is,
here.
This
Nordic
is unbelievable.
Waffles,
Dave,
Australian food.
We might have to take a break just to eat a little something. What do we think?
Wow. I think that's a good idea. What a nice surprise. Thank you.
We're probably over by so much Charlie's ready to do backflips in there, so we better go to commercial.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's hit this segment running and gunning. Time for a fast back and forth with Pete and Dave. We're calling Fast Break on the Huddle.
All right, Charlie, we're ready, man. It's the fast break time.
Appreciate fast break. I know. We've got a special guest, by the way. Dave, appreciate you being here. I think that was the first reference of sumo wrestling we've ever had on the show.
Well,
I think that's the first time.
You know, I'm just here when you need me.
No,
I looked at Charlie in the box over here, and I'm thinking, wow, he's already in a fast break.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we love an international flair to the show. We've got Australian potatoes.
Yes.
We've got sumo wrestling. So we'll keep it on that. Dave, I think I'm going to start
out. I was going to wear my sumo outfit here, but I thought that might be a bit much.
Do you mean the kimono?
Well, a kimono would have been better than what I was thinking.
Yeah. All right.
There ain't a lot to their uniforms.
Yeah. There's not a lot there.
Well, we'll
can you imagine if they had to put their name and number in the back of those things or the front.
It would
but
not
anyway,
fit.
I'm sorry.
Do they call it a diaper? I mean, they look diaper-esque.
It does look
right?
Like a diaper.
People say that.
Yes.
I don't know what it is for sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure
could
that out.
Could be
I'll start
headband
looking that
gone
up
wrong.
Second.
I'm not sure. But.
Yeah, Dave, we'll start out with you. You're guest. Okay. Ben Johnson's Gopher squad this week announced their non-conference schedule. Obviously, with the changing of the Big Ten Conference, a lot of new teams coming in, Oregon's, Washington's, USC's, UCLA's. The non-conference schedule, not exactly a murderer's row of teams. Nebraska, Omaha, Cleveland State, Bethune-Cookman. I don't know if you know the great school Bethune-Cookman.
Much hated.
Yeah,
Bethune-Cookman.
Farley Dickinson. I can keep naming these, but they're all like that, pretty much. Is that acceptable for this time of the program? Should the Gophers be going for, I don't know, even the St. Thomas, even something locally?
Okay, let me address that, because I looked at the schedule earlier this week, and you mentioned Oral Roberts, I think, who plays in the Summit League, correct?
Yeah.
Then you said Nebraska, Omaha?
Yep.
Are they in the Summit League?
I believe so.
Yeah.
St. Thomas of Minnesota.
That should be a layup.
I really like Ben Johnson. I got to know him when he was playing, and Dave Thorson, the assistant. I love Dave. I've sat in the locker room with Dave when he's given his team the speech. He knows. They're sharp.
Yeah.
But and I don't know if this will happen, but St. Thomas against Minnesota just makes all the sense in the world to me. And I'm running finances. Pete, I always turn to you for financial advice. Sometimes when you don't want to hear from me, I'll go, hey, Pete, what about this? But I assume the place would sell out.
Oh.
And it'd be great. Now, I hope at some point, because hockey does it.
Yeah.
Was it volleyball that had it going the other night?
Yep, they did.
I don't know.
Why wouldn't you do it in basketball?
Well, there must be a reason. I don't know, but I like all the coaches involved. Johnny Tower at St. Thomas. I mentioned Ben and Dave. And man, I'm sure I'm like, I gotta be like 99% of the people, don't I? What a great matchup, and it'd be a sellout.
They're going to have a great new arena too. St. Thomas is going to be building around campus that you can do a couple of home and homes across town.
It seems, why not?
Seems like an obvious choice.
Moneymaker.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't understand it. As long as we are going to the Summit League anyway, why wouldn't that be? It's just an absolute layup, and no pun intended. Because when you look at this whole thing, Minnesota has done a great job, and they've always had the opportunities back in the day when it was a different deal and you'd go out and you'd have somebody from South Dakota come in here or North Dakota come in here. I don't understand. It's right in our backyard. That would be a great thing, and we're already doing it in a hockey, like you guys were saying. So that doesn't make any sense at all.
Hockey, volleyball, yeah. I think there's numerous sports, but the big moneymakers, football and basketball, seem to be holding off a little bit. Back to football, Pete.
Uh-oh.
We've talked a little bit about Gopher football so far with their opening game on Thursday. But we haven't really gotten into a prediction. How about this? I want a score, Pete, and I want a player to click.
God, you want a lot, man.
I do. I want a lot. I'm asking a lot of you.
I'm going to say this. I'm so impressed with the Gopher football team, what P.J. Fleck has been able to put together over there and what they look like this year. I see out there in the betting pools that they say they're 5.5. I think they're going to win a lot more games than that. And you and I have talked about that already. But my prediction is they're going to be 8-4 based upon what I see out there. That being said, as far as the score, boy, that's a tough one. I think it's something closer to like maybe the Gophers 31-21. And I say that because I think Max Brosner is the real deal. We've already got the complement players around him. Our defense, I think, will be much better. We've got healthy guys, especially at linebacker. It was really something. When we lost Cody Lindenberg, that was something big last year because he's a big, strong, fast linebacker.
Yeah.
And I think because of those reasons, I would actually say Max would be the guy that will be the player feature, and he'll get what he deserves, which will be something very good because we've got a lot of different folks for him to throw the ball to.
Yeah, you got to. So are you going to say Max Brosner, guy to click,
yes,
probably? Max.
Yep. And 31-21 is the game. Gophers winning.
I'm betting on that. All right. I'll be there.
All right. Me too.
Yeah, I'm going to put it right on that. Dave, we'll go back to you. You big Twins guy, Dave. You know what you're talking about when it comes to Twins.
I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to anything.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to give you a Twins question.
Okay.
Answer as best as you can. How about that?
All right.
We'll go with...
I do have a BS degree, so I'm ready.
Beautiful. It's going to be a fun August for the Twins. Two games between the Royals, the Guardians, and the Twins for the AL Central race, and it's really coming down a lot to the Twins starting pitching. And a lot of guys have gone down. You've had your Joe Ryan's going down. You've had Stephen Paddock, who has... Chris Paddock, who went down as well. And you got these young guys coming up. You got Festa, you've got Zebby Matthews. You've got a couple of these guys. And then you have your stalwarts of the rotation, your Pablo Lopez's, and Pete loves to talk about Bailey Ober, I know. So if you are making the playoffs as the Twins, you are in their current state, how are you managing this rotation when it comes to the postseason? Three guys, are you just going to have to rely on one of these young guns?
What I'm going to do is, so let's say Lopez has pitched 7 good innings.
Yeah.
Instead of patting him on the back on the bench and saying thanks for the 7 innings, I'm saying go out in the top of the 8th. And until somebody gets a hit off you, I'm not pulling you. And then in the 9th, go out in the 9th. Let him go a little longer. And I know the analytics guys are, they're kind of running the ship a little bit with all of this stuff. And that's good. You got to have them. I'm sure they've made a difference. But as someone who's played, as someone who's competed, Pete, in your case, and a guy looks good after 6 innings, let him go to 7. Let him, if he gets in trouble, he's out of there. Let those guys go one more inning if they can. On the other hand, if they're getting hit, take them out in 2 innings.
Yeah.
But I like the way the Twins have run the club this year. I think they may be surprising a lot of people considering who they lost. Sonny Gray had really nice things to say about the Twins the other day, and they didn't have the market to obviously afford him, which brings up a whole other conversation about TV rights and all that sort of thing baseball. But I know it sounds goofy, but
I like that strategy.
I'm looking at David Festa second time through the order, giving up about a 350 batting average, and he can make it through that one time.
But how about that day that against the Philadelphia Phillies,
Sure.
And Festa comes in on the third hitter, right? So they let the lefty hit go out, Olkert or whoever it was going against the first two lefty hitters.
Yeah.
Then they bring Festa out, and he shuts him down through the lineup. He strikes out Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper's second time around. You can't tell me there's a better player than Bryce Harper.
Right.
I mean, if I'm if I'm on a team, and we've had this conversation before with my buddies, if I'm on a team, I want Bryce Harper on my team because he's just he just brings it.
He's a ball player.
And if he makes you mad the game, so what? He wants to win. And after the game, he's probably the nicest guy in the world. Yeah. I want Bryce Harper on my team. And Festa went out and handled Bryce Harper and the Phillies in that game. And so maybe that's a secret. Let somebody else pitch the first two guys. And, but, I just am convinced you got to – when you're on the field, and I'd ask my players, I'd go to my – shortstop, and I go to my catcher and said, hey, do you think he can go one more batter? And if they said yeah, I said, okay, you, analytics, forget it. I want this guy to be in there again.
To their credit, I think they have been doing that a little bit more. I don't know. Yeah. It was about three or four games ago, Zebby Matthews came in, and he was struggling a little bit, and they said, you know what, you're getting us one more inning. You're going to go through that sixth inning. We're going to you have to. We just don't have the guys in the bullpen, so you're going to do it.
Yeah,
so,
I that's just what I would do, and that's why I'm not a major league manager. Yeah. So there you go.
All right, Pete, we'll finish this off. You're running a little bit late. J.J. McCarthy, I'm sure we've already hit that as much as we possibly could. He's going to be out for the season. That's going to leave Sam Darnold as the helmsman for the Minnesota Vikings. A couple guys behind him still. You've still got Nick Mullins. You've still got Jaren Hall. And then, of course, you added Matt Corral out of Ole Miss this week. My question, Pete, going to put you on the spot. Is Sam Darnold, barring injury, and I'll give you that out, is Sam Darnold going to start every game of the season for the Minnesota Vikings?
No way. I think he will probably at least get the opportunity for the first six. But at some point, I think they're just going to have to pull it, if he's struggling. And I kind of feel like he might. But let's be honest, we've got great receiving core. We like our running back. We like the offensive line. So there's a lot of reasons to have hope that we don't have to just rely on the throwing of our quarterback, but I think it's going to be something where if he starts to struggle, they're going to have to pull him, and then what? You know, so I don't know that we have the right guys on the roster right now to be the starters to come in if Darnold's yanked.
I mean, you think is that Mullins in your mind at this point?
Mullins he'd fit. I think Mullins would be the guy who would fit first. But the other guys have shown us that they are a little bit better maybe than we thought they were. But are they at the next level? Are they NFL quarterbacks? You can look great in the preseason. You can look great in college. But it's a lot different when it's the real time. And so that's the piece of the puzzle we don't have yet.
All right. Well, it's exciting. That's a week away. Gophers this week. That's all I got for you right now.
Right.
So I think we'll head on out to break here and finish up this hour strong.
Let's do it. All right, Dave.
Can I divert again?
Yeah, we can divert. We can do whatever you want to do. You're the Hall of Famer, for crying out loud.
So academically, you know, you want to graduate from a it's cool to graduate from a Big Ten school or a SEC school or a Big 12 school. So what kind of example are you setting academically when you still call it the Big Ten? What kind of academic statement are you making when you still call it the Big 12? Honest to Pete, I don't understand that. I mean, don't we have college presidents that can figure this out and say, hey, we're telling these kids coming in there's only 10 teams in the conference, but if they count them, it's a few more.
You know,
you've got and don't tell me it's a matter of reputation. So well, the Big Ten, you know, we don't want to change the name. Change the name. Nobody cares. You've changed the entire landscape with this NIL. Change the conference name.
Well, and I can play into that a little bit for you. How about this? You know the Pac-12 has two. Oregon State and Washington State are the Pac-12. There's two teams, two schools. I mean, it's crazy. I actually was writing some of that down. By the way, the Big 12 has 16.
Yeah. Well, they just got Central Florida, didn't
Central
they?
Florida, which is, I'll tell you what. People are going to sleep on that team, and they're wrong to do that because those guys, they have always had great quarterback play.
Yep.
They can recruit Florida. Yeah, maybe it's not the guys who's going to go to Florida State, but it might be the next guy down. And they're well coached. That's going to be interesting. I think the Big 12, it gets kind of lost for whatever reason. Everybody's Big 10 and SEC and everything, but the Big 12, they're for real. The ACC struggling, I think. I think they've got some issues, and they're trying to work it out. Heck, those guys, you know, you got multiple schools who want to leave the ACC. And then, of course, you get Cal and Stanford just went into the eight, which makes a lot of sense, by the way, to your other point.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, okay, this is the Atlantic Conference, yeah. right? Atlantic. Yeah. That's what the ACC is.
And we're academic institutions.
Academic yeah. institutions. And meanwhile, we've got two schools, that's coming all the way from the furthest part they can in the Western yeah. California. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, it changes. I mean, I don't comprehend it. I know you've got bigger problems, but that's, to me...
Yeah.
If I'm just an academia and I'm going, why do they call us the Big Ten? It makes zero sense. Do I want to go to your school for, you know, whatever it is, nuclear physics, which I think you are able to do, Pete?
No, thanks.
I want to go to school that conference actually has the same number of schools. So.
Well, it is something very interesting. And what I don't like is this. How can you can't play every team in your own conference any longer. You just can't do it because you're only going to play 11, 12 games, maybe 13 games. You can't do that when you've got 16 teams in a conference, 18 teams in a conference.
Having said that, what are they going to do? Do you see a day when it's all a conference lineup that you don't play in North Carolina, you don't play a Louisiana Lafayette, you play only your conference teams? Is that going
to
happen?
I'd hate to lose that, but I also hate the idea that there are years where Minnesota is not going to play Michigan or not going to play Ohio State. It just, there's something wrong about that. And I don't know that they've thought this whole thing out as well as they think they have. And it's going to be a problem, I think, at some point. But
is this the year they go to the 8-team playoff in football?
12-team.
12-team, I mean?
Yep. So that's coming up yet. But, by the way, speaking of...
Well, they're probably going to call that a 6-team playoff for all the way it's going here. Yeah.
Well, we got a hop. We're going to go. It was a great first hour, and we look... I'm looking forward to the second hour. We got a lot to cover. We got Vikings. We got Gophers. We got everything.
We've covered nothing that you wanted me to cover so far. That's all my fault.
Golden Gusty right there. All right.